I was tired of being a liar, manipulator, and cheater. In my prison cell, I got down on my knees and prayed to God because I needed help.
There's nowhere that we can go where God can't reach us. God meets us anywhere. He's not just the God of second chances. He's the God of second births.
For as much work as he's done in you, he's got more he's going to keep doing, and we're just so excited about that.
Jesus does change everything. Next weekend is our baptism weekend, when you will hear stories of just that. If you're someone who makes a decision to follow Christ now or at any time during our service, would you email us at the address on the screen or text the word decision to 52855. We want to follow up with you to pray and encourage you with next steps. So please let us know. Well, welcome everyone. My name is Ralph. I am so glad that you have joined us today for our online service. If you have a prayer request or you want to connect with a pastor, you can contact us through our CA app or email at the address on your screen. We'd like to thank you for your giving and your ongoing generosity. You can give online through our app or our website by clicking on the Give tab. For those of you who would like to mail in your offering, make your check payable to Christian Assembly and send it to the address below. This is a communion weekend, so get your bread and your juice ready. We'll be taking communion towards the end of our service. Thank you again for being with us today and each weekend for our online service. So you don't miss communion or anything else, we encourage you to watch to the end. Let's pray. God, thank you for each person joining us online. Would you continue to bless them with peace, provision, and protection? Thank you for all our frontline workers. Would you protect them and give them grace to endure? Lastly, Father, would you encourage and strengthen our faith as we worship and hear your word? We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. And enjoy the service. One, two, three.
Praise is rising.
Praise is rising. Turn to you. Hope is stirring, hearts are yearning for you.
Oh yes, we do.
We long for you. 'Cause when we see you, we find strength to face the day. And in your presence, all our fears are washed away, washed away. Hosanna, Hosanna. You are the God who saves us, worthy of all our praises. Hosanna, Hosanna. Come have your find strength to face the day. In your presence and in your presence, all our fears are washed away. Washed away, Hosanna. I thought it'd be great and fitting if we sang this old hymn, Standing on the Promises of God. That's what we need to be doing in this time right now. There's a lot of lyrics in the song, a lot of truth. It goes like this. Oh, standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God, and standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God. Chorus goes like this. Oh, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. And standing on the promises I now can see, perfect present cleansing in the blood for me. Standing in the liberty where Christ makes free. Standing on the promises of God. Hey, oh, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Here's our new part. We can stand firm. We can stand tall.
We can stand tall.
Putting all our trust in the promises of God. We can stand strong.
Stand strong.
Letting go of all.
Letting go of all.
Putting all our hope in the promises of God. And standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to him eternally by love's strong cord, overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword. Standing on the promises of God.
Take it, Eileen.
Standing on the promises, I cannot fall. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. I'm resting in my Savior as my all in all. I'm standing on the promises of God. Hey.
Oh, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. One more time. Oh, standing. Standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God.
Hey.
We can stand firm, we can stand firm.
Stand firm.
We can stand tall.
Stand tall.
Putting all our trust in the promises of God. Stand strong.
Stand strong.
Letting go of all.
Letting go of all.
Putting all our hope in the promises of God. One more time. Yes, we can stand firm.
Stand firm.
We can stand tall.
Stand tall.
Putting all our trust in the promises of God.
Lord, in the midst of these troubled times, we stand on your promises that cannot fail. Though the howling storms of doubt and fear are coming against us, we stand on your living word, knowing that it shall indeed prevail. Lord, we thank you for the gift of your perfect present cleansing that makes us free from our sin through your blood. We thank you for the liberty that comes to us by knowing you. And Lord, we're so thankful to be bound to you eternally by love's strong cord, knowing that nothing can ever separate us from you and your love. And lastly, we know that we can and will overcome in this life with the sword and power of your Spirit, O Savior, as we rest in you. In Jesus' lovely, powerful, and precious name, and everyone from their home said, Amen.
And in Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. And this cornerstone, this solid ground, he's firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. And in Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, he was scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. And there in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the ground
the precious blood of Christ.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Let's sing it again.
Verse.
No guilt in life, no fear in death. Yes, oh, this is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath,
oh, Jesus commands my destiny.
Come on.
No power of hell, no scheme of man.
Hallelujah.
Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, a Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis thou. Oh, and I love thee because thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree.
Thank you.
Oh, and I love time. Oh, with all my heart and soul.
Hey, welcome everybody. Whether you are a visitor or guest, you found us online somehow, or whether you are a regular part of the Christian Assembly family, it is great to be with you. I am praying for you. I'm praying for our time even right now. Now that we're about 5-6 weeks into this online experience, I thought maybe it might be good to hear a few updates before we jump into the teaching. You know, prior to us going to this online-only format, we had around 3,355 people on campus or watching online on any given weekend. But because you've been so faithful to share and let others know about what's happening, after we've gone to online only, that number has actually jumped up to 8,359 views per week. Now, I know that some of those people might just be scrolling through social media, but I also know that some of those people are families of two or three or four that are watching together, maybe some roommates that are joined together as well. So thank you for sharing these services online. For all of you that are leading life groups, almost 200 life groups, table groups, student groups, want to say thank you, thank you, thank you as you continue to make disciples, even in this time of challenge. So grateful for your leadership. And lastly, for all of you who have given groceries or maybe you've given to our general offering, some of that money's being used for grocery benevolence, want to share just one little thank you note I received this week. A family wrote and said, receiving food and these groceries is a tangible way that we can see that God sees us and he cares. So just want to thank you for that as well. Well, today we are continuing on in our series, Hope Found Here, The Unshakable Promises of God. I want you to imagine something with me just for a moment. Imagine that you would go to an amusement park, maybe Knott's Berry Farm, and you get into one of those tower rides that allows you to go up really high in the air to kind of take a view all around. Now imagine you're up there and you're coming down, and then imagine you hear a mechanical clunk and it gets stuck. Now imagine that it's not imaginary. That's really what happened in December of 2016. A ride at Knott's Berry Farm got stuck 148 feet in the air with 20 people on board of it, including 7 children. Well, of course, the firefighters came. They brought their tallest ladder truck, but it was nowhere tall enough, near long enough to reach them. And so the firefighters had no choice. They would have to climb up and then lower each passenger from 148 feet in the air, harnessed to a single rope. In fact, I brought a picture for you to see what that might look like. The fire captain, Larry Kurtz, began to speak to the 20 people that were on the ride. He said, look, it sounds scary to do this, but we have very, very strong ropes that can hold 9,000 pounds before they would even break. Now, what was he doing when he said that? He was building the faith of those who needed to be rescued. See, without faith, they couldn't be rescued. He was giving them the information that if they trusted him, if they trusted his promise, if they trusted his word, that would dissipate their fears now and lead them to their salvation eventually. Well, then, of course, each passenger had to make the decision of whether or not to place their trust in the promise that the firefighter had just given. Let's zero in on one of the teenagers. I don't know her name, but we'll call her Mary. Another picture will show you her. She's being lowered down the 148 feet. She's old enough, certainly, to feel terror as she looks to the ground below from such a height. Imagine the firefighter looks in the eye and with a steadying voice says, I want you to trust me, Mary. I won't let you go. Your life is very precious to me. I will have you safe and sound before you know it. Mary listens to the promise. She thinks about the very, very strong rope that's holding them. She believes that the firefighter knows what he's talking about. She believes that he's good. She believes that he has come to help her and to even save her. And she knows that this rope is the only way to get her safely on the ground. You know, if she didn't believe, then she wouldn't have the faith to trust the firefighter. She would lose her only hope to be lowered safely to the ground, because faith and hope and love, they're all bound up together. Well, Mary did choose to believe, and because of that, she made it safely home that night. So did all the 20 passengers who were lowered one by one safely to the ground just before 10 p.m. on that December chilly night.
Maybe you find this season that we're in to be a little bit scary. Seems like there's no way out of it. But God has already provided His great and precious promises that you need in this season, that I need in this season, and that if we trust them, they will not only dissipate our fears now, but they will lead us to salvation and safety in the long run as well. We're going to consider one of those promises, but before we do, let's pray. God, we thank you that you are our rescuer, that you are our helper, that you see us in our time of need, and you provide your great and precious promises for us to cling to as we continue to walk through life with you. I pray as we come to your word now, would you speak to us through this promise? Would you comfort us, I pray, challenge us, inspire us by your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this week, what's the promise that God has given us to place our trust in during times of suffering, waiting, and challenge? The promise begins with this phrase, weeping may last through the night. That's the first part of the promise. Of course, you probably already know that, right? I mean, we know people, maybe you, me, others, friends, family members, coworkers, who have spent some time weeping. Maybe they've lost a loved one. Maybe somebody's lost their job or lost some hours at their job and they're scared about their income. Maybe it's a student who feels sad about not being able to see their classmates all together in class like they normally would. Weeping may last through the night and the next and even the next. And that's not really news to us. But the second part of the promise may be, because it says weeping may last through the night, but joy comes with the morning. I want to talk with us about three helpful points directly from God's promise to help us when we are in seasons or times like this of waiting, of suffering, maybe even questions and hardship. The first thing we see from God's word is this, is that suffering is real, but it won't last forever. I love that God's word matches up to our actual experience. There are other world religions that would teach that suffering isn't real, that it's just an illusion. But not only is that not true, it's not even helpful. As many of you might know, my mom passed away about a month ago, the end of March, right before my birthday. And if someone came to me and said, well, Tom, listen, I know your mom passed away, but the grief you feel, you're not really suffering. It's just an illusion. If somebody said that, I would probably, in a little bit sarcastic way, say, okay, well then, let me punch you in the face. But don't worry, it won't be real pain. It'll just be illusionary pain. What I love about God's word is it gives it to us straight, that weeping may last through the night. Grief is real. Pain is real. Loss is real, whether it's an economic loss or a relational loss or an emotional loss. But God's word gives us the hope to deal with it because we're promised that joy comes in the morning. That's God's way of saying that suffering is real, but it's not going to last forever. Let me remind us, we are in a season. This is a season. And it might be one of suffering for us. It might be one of waiting for us. But it's just a season. It won't last forever. Jesus basically says the same thing in another way in John 16, verse 33. He says, here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart. Or in other words, be glad, because I have overcome the world. It's that last part of the promise that gives us the hope to keep on going through the first part of the promise. And you know, when it comes to God's promises, He makes a promise, but sometimes there's a season of waiting before they are fulfilled. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 15, it says it this way, so after waiting patiently, there again we see that waiting is part of it, Abraham received what God had promised. Maybe you know that God has promised you joy that is coming soon, but you are in a season of waiting, or maybe even a season of weeping. What do we do when we're waiting or even weeping for the promise of the coming joy? I want to encourage you, if that's you or even like me, don't waste your waiting. You probably certainly have heard the name Sir Isaac Newton. He was one of the most brilliant scientists of all time. He also was a committed follower of Jesus. In fact, Newton paid for Bibles to be given out to the poor and helped oversee the construction of over 50 different church buildings in the city of London during his day so that more people could hear about the good news of Jesus. But Newton, history tells us, went through his own two-year season of waiting. It was during the bubonic plague that was sweeping through London at the time, and Newton chose to quarantine himself to his family farm. But in his confinement, he didn't just waste his waiting. He was in a season, but his goal wasn't only to get through the season. He wanted to discover all that God had for him in that season. He was discovering all that God had for him, even in his isolation. In fact, historians tell us that it was during that time that he discovered and invented the mathematic principles for calculus. He also discovered a lot about the very nature of light. And it was during that two-year period of time that he discovered the laws of gravity. Now, maybe for some of you, you're going to make some world-changing discovery like that. But for many of us, what God has for us in this time might just be a deeper discovery of strengthening our prayer life. Maybe learning a simple but new skill or improve upon a skill we already have. For many, it's just slowing down enough to be willing to reach out to others and build stronger relationships. This is a season. It won't last forever, and joy is coming. But I want to encourage you, as well as I've been encouraging myself, the goal of this season isn't just to get through it. The goal is to discover all that God has for us in this time. Ask God to help you to not waste your waiting. The second thing we see from God's word on this promise is this, is that God won't waste your suffering. We often, when suffering comes our way, we have all sorts of questions and we want to know why suffering happens. And the Bible gives different answers to that depending on different situations. We learn things like we live in a fallen world that sin has entered into. We suffer at the hands of maybe choices that other people have made in their sinfulness. Maybe we create some of our own suffering by our own unwise choices along the way as well. Spiritual warfare is certainly a component involved in it, and the list could go on. But what I want you to see here is that regardless of why we may be suffering, God promises not to waste it. He will redeem it and even use suffering for good in our lives and for His glory in the lives of others. For example, how does God, according to His word and His promises, develop a person to be a person of genuine hope? It might not go the way that you would think that it would. Here's what God's word tells us that the hope-growing process involves in a person's life. From Romans 5, verse 3, we read, "We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead us to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love." Now, if I were writing this script, I would have said something like this: when all of your circumstances perfectly align for a long period of time, then you'll have enough trust to become hopeful. But that's not the way that God works, and that's not what God's word says. God's ways are wiser than my ways. We don't need hope when all of our circumstances are great. We need it when they're hard. Do you see in this passage what precedes a confident hope in the coming joy of salvation? It's problems and trials and endurance and character. Hopeful souls are grown right in the midst of the struggles, the problems, the seasons of weeping and waiting, and yes, the suffering that comes to us in our life. Hope found here, that's the title of our series. Well, where is it found? It's found in the promises of God. And when are those promises available to us? Right now, right here in the midst of our season of waiting and weeping. Someone shared with me a week or two ago on the phone, and they said, "You know, Tom, a friend said to me, I just want some answers. If I can understand my suffering, then I would be able to endure it." Understanding, though, doesn't really give you the power to endure something. But knowing what is on the other side of the suffering does give you that power. For example, over the last 2 months, we've had a number of families in the church who have had newborn babies. And one of the things I know about new moms is that a new mom doesn't say, I can endure this child birthing process because I understand everything about the human body and I understand everything about the birthing process. No, a new mom endures the promise because of the joy of the new life that is soon coming to greet her on the other side of the pain, on the other side of the suffering. Someone might say, well, Tom, if I could understand my suffering, then I could endure it. And I often think that way too. But the verse we just read tells us that endurance comes before the answers. In other words, if I'm able to endure my suffering, my waiting, then I'll understand because this hope will not lead to disappointment. We want answers, but God gives us promises and invites us to trust Him. And they are strong enough to trust even in our deepest and darkest seasons of waiting. Well, remember the people that were trapped in that amusement park ride at Knott's Berry Farm. Remember Mary. Mary didn't have to understand all of the physics of how a rope could be strong enough to hold 9,000 pounds to trust it. She took the fireman at his word. She believed him. She trusted his promise because she believed that he knew what he was talking about, that he was trustworthy. Some might ask, Mary, well, how's this rope going to be able to hold you and the fireman at the same time? And she would respond and say, I don't really know, but I'm trusting his promise that it will. Well, Mary, why would you trust him? I'm trusting him because he's not only telling me to put my life on the line, but he's going to put his life on the line with me. Why would you believe him, Mary? Well, because he's with me. He's not just lowering me down. He's literally on the rope with me when I'm dangling 148 feet in the air. Sounds a lot like Jesus to me. I believe Jesus would say to us, Tom, I'm not just telling you to trust the Father's promises. I'm going to be right with you in every season. The weeping ones, the waiting ones, the suffering ones, and the joyful one that is soon coming. Well, Tom, how is God going to move us through this season of waiting and weeping to bring joy in the morning? Listen, I don't know exactly all the particulars of how it will unfold, but I know He will do it. Well, Tom, when is it going to happen? I don't know. But I know that His timing is perfect. And I can trust that what I don't understand now, I will understand then. The third thing we see from God's word in this promise is this, is that when you see what your suffering has accomplished, you will be satisfied. In Isaiah chapter 53, it's a long chapter, you can read it, that is prophesying about what would happen to the coming Messiah that was being predicted. And in Isaiah 53 verse 3, it says that the Messiah was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. It goes on and it talks about his sorrows, the sufferings, the beatings of being unjustly condemned. But then we come to this promise in verse 11. It says, when he sees all that is accomplished by his suffering, he will be satisfied. Jesus is now seated on his throne in heaven, looking at all the sorrow, all the deepest grief that he experienced, all the suffering of the cross, and he's looking at all of it, and the one thing I know that he's not saying is, well, that was all pointless. No, we're told that once he sees all that is accomplished by his suffering, he will be satisfied. Why? Because the suffering season, the weeping season, lasted for a season, but joy came in the morning. And God used his suffering for good, for the redemption of those who believe. Jesus is actually looking through the season of the suffering to the joy that was awaiting him. He did that even when he was here on earth. In Hebrews 12, verse 2, we learn this. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. And here's the line. Because of the joy that was awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and he seated the place of honor beside God's throne. If you want to have hope, then in the seasons of suffering or waiting or even questioning or maybe even times of doubt, you need to look through those seasons to the season of coming joy that God has promised us. Now, someone might think, well, Tom, maybe that's all true for Jesus, but maybe that promise doesn't apply to us. But let me remind you what God's word has pledged to us in Romans chapter 8, verse 18. We're told, I consider that all of our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us. And who is the us? It's those who believe in Jesus. Well, we can see all of these principles at play through the story of Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. You can read the whole story in the book of John, chapter 11, but let me just summarize it to help us understand these principles in play. Lazarus was sick, and Lazarus was the brother of Martha and Mary. All three of them were friends with Jesus. So the sisters send word to Jesus, who was in a different town, that Lazarus is sick. We're told in John 11, verse 5, so although Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, he stayed where he was for the next 2 days. Lazarus then dies. The weeping was real. The suffering was real. The waiting was real. The questions that Martha and Mary probably had were all real. What's taking Jesus so long? Why isn't he coming immediately? Doesn't he care about what we're going through? What's he doing anyways? Lazarus eventually has been in the tomb for 4 days, and Martha is there, and Jesus has now come, and Martha says, don't roll away the stone, the smell will be terrible. And in John 11, verse 40, Jesus responds to her by saying, didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe? In other words, what he's saying is, wait a second here, wait a second, Martha, are you thinking that your circumstances are a match for my promise to you? Jesus is saying to Martha and to us, nothing, there is nothing. There is no suffering, no waiting, no questions, no chaos, no loss, no turmoil. Nothing can stop my promise to you if you will believe. Didn't I tell you, Jesus said, that you would see God's glory if you believe? Now, when he says, if you believe, that means it's a conditional promise. We have a role to play to bring our faith and say, God, give us faith to trust you. Jesus, he then resurrects Lazarus from the dead. The weeping was real, but the joy was coming. As he said, didn't I tell you? Imagine for a moment Lazarus and Martha and Mary, maybe even today. They've now seen how God has used their very real suffering. And I would bet that they are satisfied as they look at how God has used all of the suffering that they felt over those several day period of time. People all throughout history have been encouraged by what God did in their life, receiving hope from what Jesus did with their weeping. Let me encourage you, whatever loss, whatever waiting, whatever suffering, whatever challenge that you might be going through right now, here's God's promise to you and to me. Weeping may last through the night, but joy comes in the morning. You see, the Lord means to fulfill his promise to us, or he wouldn't have given it. God doesn't give us his word merely to quiet us for a while or to keep us hopeful for a while with the intention of putting us off at last. When God speaks, it's because he means to do exactly what he has said. Joy is coming. Watch for it. Expect it as you would expect the sunrise, even when it's the middle of the night. Like that firefighter who is dangling from the rope with Mary, you are not alone in this season of waiting, of watching. The one who has come to rescue you is with you, even now, by his word and by his Holy Spirit. God won't waste even one tear that you have cried, even one moment that you have waited, or even one pang of grief that you feel. And when you see all that God does with all of this, you will be satisfied. Yes, weeping comes, but so does joy. And with Christ, joy doesn't only come, but joy gets the last and the final word in our stories. Let's pray. God, even now, would you help us, before we come to this table of communion, to respond to you? Maybe for some of you, you've experienced loss in this season. Maybe you've lost a loved one. Maybe you've lost a job, and that's scary. And I just want you to hear, as your pastor, that I'm sorry and I grieve with you. In fact, we're going to be making available a grief guide that's going to be online to help you, a 7-day grief guide that you can use and download and walk through that PDF as a way to bring your grief to God. For those of you maybe who haven't experienced the loss, I want to encourage you. Think about others around you who maybe have, whether it's a loved one, maybe it's a friend, a coworker, maybe it's a job loss or other type of loss. And I want to encourage you, check in on them. Pray for them. Do what you can do to offer comfort. You know, sometimes when somebody's grieving, we can feel like, well, I don't know what to say. Let me just tell you, I have been so grateful for those who have reached out to me in my own season of grief with the loss of my mom. You don't have to say the perfect word. Just the intent of you reaching out and showing that you care, God uses that to comfort me. And even now, God, would you give us the endurance, the perseverance, and the character we need to experience the confident and unshakable hope from your promise that joy is coming soon. Well, we're going to come to this communion table, and this table is open to anyone who has ever given their life to Jesus Christ. In fact, if you've never done that, I invite you to do that now. Well, what would that look like? It just looks like you saying, God, I believe in you, and I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son, who you sent not only to teach us about who you are, but to lay down his life to pay for our sins so that we can be restored to a right relationship with you, and that your Holy Spirit and your word would fill our hearts, teach us how to do life in a way that honors you, not only building a growing relationship with you, God, but having strong relationships with others as we seek to love our neighbors as ourselves. Listen, for some of you, now is the time. God's word says, when you hear God's voice, do not harden your heart. Right now might be your time to say yes to Jesus for the very first time. If that's you, would you pray with me before we come to this table? You can just repeat after me. God, I'm saying yes to you. Jesus, I'm placing all my hope in you and what you've done in your life, death, and resurrection. Save me from my sin. Teach me your promises in your word, and give me your Holy Spirit, that I might be one of your followers, starting now, but all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, whether you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, I want to welcome you into the family of God. And those of you who have made that decision before, welcome as well to the table of communion. On the night that he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus Christ gathered his disciples. And he took a loaf of bread and he broke it and said, this is my body, which is broken for you. As often as you eat this, do this in remembrance of me. It's a good and right thing for us to remember and to consider and think on what Jesus Christ has done by dying for us in our salvation. Likewise, after supper, he took a cup and said, this is the cup of the shedding of my blood in order to establish the covenant between you and God. As often as you drink this, do this in remembrance of me. And so now, wherever you might be, if you're a follower of Jesus, we invite you to go ahead and take a piece of bread, and we're going to pray and then receive communion. So Lord, now, would you set aside the common element of bread to be something mysterious and sacred as we commune with you? Lord, I pray that you would meet us now in this time of worship. Let us come to you and be strengthened by faith in Jesus' name. You can go ahead and receive the bread now, and as you do, Eileen is going to be leading us in a worship song.
Oh, I'm resting in your love for me. I'm resting in your sovereignty. I'm resting in your faithful arms, oh God. Oh, I'm resting in your plans for me, that they're all for good, not to harm me. I'm resting in your promises, oh God. And I don't have to worry, and I don't have to fear, because
Thank you again for joining us today. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, will you email or text us so we can follow up with you? And as a reminder, for the upcoming week, our daily touch points are available on our social media, and digital discipleship will be available Wednesday evenings. And now let me close with this benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. God bless you. See you next week.